Well, I'm hoping that most of our class shows up. There's obviously issues with the weather, but God is sovereign, and who's here needs to be here or should be here, and who's not, that's okay. So we're totally good. I want to pick up where we left off last week by doing this question here, and then we're going to get into a new thing today. But before I do that, I need six volunteers who can read scripture, these right here that are on the board. These are going to be read toward the end of the lesson, and I want people who can read these, like, not academically, but with passion, and the way I think God intended them to be read. So, I need six volunteers who will pick one of these verses at the end of the class. Ron? Okay. Keith? Bert? I'm getting there. Marilyn?
Sure.
Two more. Who can stand up and read these with gusto?
I'll do one.
All right. Tony will do one. And then Deb. Deb, you got the last one. Jeremiah. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Okay. So going back to last week, we had asked some questions about, you know, if you could really, you know, read and study the Bible more, would you want to? Okay. And what were the reasons you would want to? We jotted that down on the board. Where I want to pick up today is over here, and I want to ask a different question here, just to review what Scripture said last week about why we should be reading and studying the Bible, and I will just say more, is, and this was on the handout last week. There are no handouts this week, by the way. The answers from Scripture were to combat sin in Psalm 119, because we're commanded to as slaves in 1 Corinthians, because we are at spiritual war in Ephesians 6, because we should desire sanctification from John 17, because we are on mission, also in John 17, because if we're actually His, we will love its purity, Psalm 119, because of all of the powerful attributes that the Word says in Psalm 19, and because we love Jesus in John 14. Those are the scriptural, some of the scriptural reasons why we talked about last week that we should be in the Bible, and the Bible directs us to get in the Word and to read and study the Word. I would add to that, by the way, if you want to look at Romans 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know, R.C. Sproul says the reason why we are to study Scripture is because we're commanded to, okay? R.C. is one of my favorites. He, in this regard, he doesn't mince words and he doesn't pull punches. He's like, we're commanded to read and study the Scriptures. So from that perspective, it's a matter of obedience. If you look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And by the way, I'm reading out of the NASB. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect or complete. When you look at that scripture, it's like, how do we renew our minds other than through scripture? We don't renew our minds through TV. We don't renew our minds by, necessarily by fellowship. We renew our minds by scripture. Okay, the word testing in your ESV in verse 2 and in the NASB, it's the word prove, is against what? When you're testing something, you're testing it against some objective standard. The objective standard is Scripture. Okay, so there again, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we do it because we renew our minds. We are commanded. It's telling us to renew our minds. For me personally, I will just admit that I need to do that on a very, very regular basis. I need to renew my mind because my mind, quite frankly, and my flesh is given to things that are more on the ungodly side of things, which Scripture speaks about, anger, discontentment, despair, hopelessness, complaining, all that stuff. That's real life. That's what I think that we deal with, at least I do. And so when we read Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are commanded to get in Scripture to renew our mind. Okay, is everybody following me on that? Are we good? Okay. 110%. Cool, thank you.
Large segments of, especially American church, that say we renew our mind by experience.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Worship experience, whatever, and that just doesn't.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. If anybody didn't hear that, Tony's saying that a lot of the church in America says we renew our mind by experience. It's all about the experience, and that is very prevalent in our church culture in America. And Tony is exactly right. There is no object standard there. I mean, when you're talking about renewing your mind by experience, you're all over the map. This, yeah, yeah, this is how you renew your mind, by the objective truth of Scripture. So I'm going to get him teaching someday. I wish he would do that. So now, back to where we left off last week. So if you do want to read and study the Bible, and we'll just say more, okay? And honestly, and this might sound a little strange, but there's some people in the class who I think if you're really honest, it's really easy when you're teaching to turn everything into drama. And so everybody needs to do more, and everybody needs to do this, or needs to do that. And it's like, that's not always the case, okay? So to be very candid and very, very honest, there are some of you that might say, I'm reading the Bible like as much as I believe I'm commanded to. I think I'm fulfilling that. And that's okay if that's what you're doing. But for those who might want to read and study the Bible more, then what do you think are the reasons you are not reading and studying the Bible more? And this could be a spiritual issue, it could be a practical issue, could be a knowledge or an aptitude issue, could be many things. So I just want to see, like, can somebody in this, I go to Planet Fitness, okay, so this is like the no judgment zone, okay, that you can go ahead and say what you're really thinking and what you really experience, and it's okay. Okay, we're not here to like crash on anybody or anything like that. We're here to share challenges and to say, how can we be more Christ-like in reading and studying the Bible? So if you want to, what are the reasons you're not doing it? Terry?
Laziness.
Okay.
Just don't make time.
Don't make time. So can you drill down into that?
Yeah, you just like going on your day and you just don't have time.
Okay, like you're busy. Busy?
Putting other things in front of them. Priority.
Busy priority? Okay. Marianne?
Focus.
Yeah. Like?
Like sometimes, like where to start, what to study.
Okay.
I keep a study up and then I get bored sometimes.
Okay, sure. So where to focus. Bert?
Been there, read that.
Been there, read that. Complacency. Would that be a good word?
Familiarity.
Okay, familiarity. Like, why be redundant? You've already read it. Okay. Jim?
Physical limitations.
Okay. Okay. No glasses. Well, here, I have a cataract in this eye right now that I got to get taken out, but I can still read, so I'm still here, so you can do it too. Yes. I'm sorry? Not so interested. Okay. Lack of interest. Okay. Two more. Doug.
Unreasonable expectations. And what I mean by that is there's somebody I know who will say, I read the Bible 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and if I don't do that, then I'm setting myself up for a standard I can't meet. So that idea, like, well, if I don't do it this way, I'm not doing it right. Or if I read the Bible and I don't get anything out of it, I'm not doing it right. Something must be wrong. So that's a frustration point for me if I'm not.
Okay.
if I'm not either doing it enough or doing it right.
Should I just say expectations then, or?
I think expectations.
Okay. One more. Dennis.
How about a lack of understanding of the content?
Okay.
Because I must say that when I read the Bible at home, it does not light up like expository preaching lights it up for me.
Okay.
I've tried that, but sometimes I just bounce off of it.
Okay.
Because I don't have that background, that depth of understanding.
Right. That's okay. So we'll say lack of understanding.
Especially some of the tougher
sure.
books.
Yeah. You're teaching Revelation next month, so that's good.
I can probably teach it as well.
Yeah. So here's a lot of very practical reasons why, and I appreciate everybody's honesty on this. I think we all deal with this to some degree. Not to spend too much time on this, but just really quick. Let me see a show of hands. What I'm going to do is I just want to see a show of hands so I can put like a little mock-up poll of percentages here on what the biggest percentage is to the smallest. Okay, so this is non-scientific. But laziness, raise your hand if that's your probably your biggest deal. Your biggest deal. Okay, so probably say like 10 people. You're busy. You're just busy. Okay, that's a big one. I'd say probably 12. Where to focus? Like, where do you go in the Bible? Where do you start? Okay. you got one more over here in Smita. So you have a partner. So familiarity with Scripture. You're just already familiar with it, so why bother reading it again?
Can you raise your hands two or three times?
Well, I saw a hand up over here. I'll say two, Bert and somebody else. It's interesting, you know, not to dwell on this, but, you know, Bert is obviously very, very well studied and very well read and schooled and everything else. So you could see where a guy like him might struggle with that. It's like, I've been through this like for years, you know. So how about no glasses? Okay. And you got me with the cataract, so you got one over here. Okay. Lack of interest. David, okay. One there. And then expectations, like Doug was talking about. Doug? You got to vote for your own. Okay. And then the last one, lack of understanding, like Dennis was talking about. Like you just have a hard time understanding what you're reading. So it's sort of like, how do you read something? How do you get inspired to read something and study something when you just don't get it? You know? So I think I saw a few hands over here, and I'd say about six. Okay. Okay, cool. Thank you. One of the reasons why I wanted to do that is I want to just be mindful of what everybody deals with when we are reading and studying the Bible. So if I can try to work this into some of the lessons that are coming up from a practical help standpoint, I want to go ahead and do that. So thank you for doing that. Okay, now, moving on from that, there's an excerpt in a TGC article, the Gospel Coalition, that I'm going to read at the end of the lesson here. But first, do you remember when you were a kid, or maybe some of you as parents with kids, but do you remember when you were a kid and you did something really bad, and your parent took something away? Like, that was your punishment. No car keys, maybe it was no cell phone. The big thing today with kids is no cell phone. Do you guys remember that? Did anybody ever do anything bad? Okay. Am I the only one who ever did anything bad? Okay. All right. Oh, man. You read a couple books on it. Okay. So nobody ever did anything bad. Nobody ever had anything taken away. Time, privilege. Huh? You got spanked. Okay.
Nothing was taken away.
Okay. Huh? What's that?
You were grounded.
Yeah, grounded. Okay. All right. Yeah, you know, when you get stuff taken away like that, especially today, I mean, if you want to create absolute panic and terror in a teenager's life, take their phone away. Okay? Like, if your kid, if you have a teenager or young, and by the way, I'm not promoting iPhones for 10-year-olds at all. That's a whole different ballgame. But if you have a kid and you take away their phone, like, you'll probably see hives. Like, they're going to break out in hives. Okay? They're going to freak out. Like, kids, Tracy.
Yeah, well, we have an example of that. My granddaughter is 16, and she was failing in her grades. And the thing they did was took away, guess what? She's now in a B category again in a short few months. And the interesting thing about it, we took her out for Christmas to a play. And while we were there, I asked her the question. I said, so how's it been without your phone? And I said, has that changed you in any way? She goes, you know what? It's been good. And I thought, to admit that, first of all, it's a big deal. But second of all, it's just, she's seeing it. And that's a huge win. So it's effective, but yeah, it's an example.
Yeah, so On the topic of going without, so in other words, you know, something happened, you got your phone taken away, you got your car keys taken away, whatever it is. On the topic of going without, I want you to sort of play along with me here on like an imaginative journey. Okay, we're going to go, this lesson is going to basically be an imaginative journey. Okay, what I mean by that is, you know, if you remember like, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, or The Wizard of Oz, the movie. You know, those movies were such that it was like these people had dreams of the way life unfolded or the way something happened. And the movie was all about them getting absolutely engulfed in this dream, okay? If you watched those movies, you sort of participated. Like you got, you know, soaked in or sucked into the movie and you watched this whole thing develop. And it was sort of like that was part of what it was all about. And that's you were in that, okay? When it comes to that, I want you to think about what we're going to get into here in a minute along that line, like it's really happening, okay? I'm going to have some questions and some statements to make. But I want you to really focus as though this were really happening because it's an imaginative exercise that I want you to participate in and think as though it's really true. Okay, and how you would feel, how you would process it, how it would affect you, you know, things like that. Because that's the nature of what I want to do here, I want everybody to really, really focus, okay? Like try to reduce all the distractions right now. Try to just become quiet, pay attention, process these thoughts, get yourself sort of wrapped into what we're going to do, okay? Are y'all focused? Are we good? Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Take your Bible, close it, or if you have a case, zip it shut. If you have a phone, turn it off, and put it under your chair. So you cannot see your Bible. Okay, so now I want you to go on this little journey with me. Think of this as though it's true. Think of it as if it's happening. So process this in your heart and in your mind, okay? And don't say anything back. I'm going to ask some questions. Don't say anything back. They're just floating out there, and I want you to think about them. The question is this, first question is, what if you didn't have or never even owned a Bible? What if you never had or never even owned a Bible? What if you have never even heard of such a thing as the Bible? Never even heard of it. Bible, what's the Bible? Foreign concept. What if there was no such thing as a Bible? God never even created the Bible. So there was no such thing as the Bible. It just literally never existed. So think about it. Jesus did live on the earth 2,000 years ago, but you would have no record of Jesus other than what you had heard historically that man had come up with and documented. You'd have no written account of creation. You have no written account of creation. You'd have no record of who God is other than observing nature and human opinions. You'd have no record of any objective, absolute truth. No record of it. You'd have no record of why you are here and how to navigate life and what happens after you die. No record of it. And you'd have no record of your need for salvation or how to be saved. No record at all. So don't answer this question, but right now, if you're processing this, and this is the world you've participated in, and this is how reality is, how do you feel? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel lonely? Now, what if in that condition that you were in, so your life is dominated by lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of purpose, lack of direction. You don't know where you came from. You don't know where you're going. What if in that condition, the condition that you're thinking of right now, someone gave the amazing, stunning, unthinkable announcement that God Almighty, who isn't even physical, okay, has miraculously written on actual paper, okay, physical paper. God, who is spirit and isn't even physical, wrote on paper not just a few words, not just a sentence, but hundreds of pages of words. Okay? In a dialect that you could understand. God, who is spirit, wrote hundreds of pages of words in a dialect you could understand. Okay? You'd be like, God himself? God wrote something down? God Almighty, who created the trillions of stars and galaxies and everything else, came and wrote something down? And he wrote it for man so we can understand it? You've got to be kidding me. You'd be absolutely floored. And then you learn that these writings were kept in a specific location, thousands of miles away, halfway around the world, okay? And they couldn't leave that location. They couldn't be transmitted. They couldn't have a picture taken of them. They couldn't be copied, nothing. They were in this location, thousands of miles away. God wrote something on paper, and it's thousands of miles away in another country. Okay, it can't be moved. But here's the thing. You can go there and you can read it. God wrote something down and you can go there and you can read it. Would you not spend your entire life savings to do whatever you had to do to get over there and to get into that building and look at what God wrote down? God Almighty. This is God. God who created everything. He's eternal. And we had no record of him because we had no Bible. But he wrote something down. Would you not spend your entire life savings to get there and read it? But now, let's come back to reality, okay? This is like when you wake up from a horrific nightmare. You wake up from a horrific nightmare, you're shaking, you're sweating, and you realize that none of this nightmare is true. It was just a horrible dream. So you have the amazing, stunning relief. Whew. This was just a dream. It's not true. It was just a nightmare. None of it's true. You can breathe. You can stop sweating. And you can calm down. None of it's real. Here's the thing. God did author a record of all these things. And he's not only given it to us, but gone as far as graciously condescending to us to give it to us in our own language that we can read. We have this. It's true. Okay? These words, I was reading scripture last week, these words that we have from God are literally more precious than gold. If I was to take right here on this side of the podium and put, think of this, okay, picture it, $100 million in gold bars piled right here. You could probably get $100 million in gold bars in about this big of a space, okay? And over here, I took a chair and I put a Bible on it. And I said, pick one. And whichever one you pick, you'll keep, but the other one you will never have the rest of your life. $100 million of gold bars. Over here, Bible. Which one would you pick?
Bible.
I knew you'd say.
He just walked in.
The scripture says his word is more precious than gold. That is not hyperbole. That is not, you know, somebody that wrote scripture getting cute and poetic. It's true. And if your choice, by the way, would be to take this $100 million of gold bars, I pity you. We need God's word, and it's worth way more than gold bars will ever be and $100 million will ever be. So think about it. There are still hundreds of people languages around the globe that don't have what you and I have, okay, which is the Bible written in our own language. There are hundreds of people groups around the globe that don't have that. So they're sort of living in that scenario we painted a minute ago, okay? They don't have it. There's people groups don't even know it exists. They don't even know what you're talking about. There are other people groups who today will walk for miles to hear the word of God, to hear the Bible read. They will literally walk for miles to hear it read. And they'll walk miles back after it's read. There are other people groups who risk being killed, who assemble in the woods, they assemble in other secret places, so that they can hear the Bible read and talk about it. But they are hiding because they know if they get caught, they will be killed. This is a true story, okay? This is not me trying to be dramatic. This is the world that we live in, okay? There are people that are risking their lives to crack open a Bible and read it together and to try to fellowship around it. There are Christians right now who risk torture and risk death to smuggle Bibles into areas of the world that if they're caught, they will go to prison, they will probably be tortured, and they will probably be killed. Okay, there are Christians today who are smuggling Bibles into areas that will not tolerate that, but they're risking their lives to do it. Yet, God has graced you and me by giving us the Bible in so many form factors, so many translations, so many tools. He's given us the Bible like just in so huge of a volume of ways that honestly, we sort of take it for granted. We take the Bible for granted. Some of us, you know, I have this phrase, Hallmark Christians. Some of us use the Bible and use Scripture as a knickknack. I'm not saying it's bad to put Scripture in your house. I wouldn't say that for a moment. But that's pretty much the totality of how some people view Scripture. Yeah. It's a decoration. Okay? It's also important to note this, and I'm going to talk about this more in detail in the next lesson or two. Do you realize that you, as you sit here, you live in not only the only generation, but you live in the only decade in the history of this world that has the Bible in print, has dictionaries, has commentaries, has different translations up the yin-yang, has study tools, you have videos on teaching, you have videos on preaching, you got everything available to you at the click of a mouse or a phone.
That's right.
You are the only generation, the only decade, basically, in the entire history of the world that has Scripture just drowning you. Think about that. Okay, now you can pick your Bible back up from underneath your chair. You might want to hold it tightly. So this reason is why we read in Scripture such passionate statements about the Word of God. And what I want to do now is I want to go ahead and turn to these verses, whoever had offered to do these names here. When you read these, please don't read this academically like you're reading the weather, okay? There are words in these Scriptures and the verses themselves as a whole that are very meaningful, very energizing from this whole standpoint. So when you read these, I want you to do two things. I want you to stand up so everybody can hear you, and I want you to just read it from your heart, okay? Read it with the respect and the diligence that it demands and it deserves, okay? Let's do the first one. Job 23, 11 to 12, Ron.
My foot has fell fast. I kept his way. Not turned aside. Have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of the food.
I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Psalm 119, 133, Keith.
Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me.
Direct my footsteps according to your word. Not according to how I feel. Not according to how I get to experience things like Tony was talking about. John 20, verse 31, Bert.
But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Did you hear that? These are written. They're written. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. Man, God, help us not to take this stuff for granted. Really. 1 Peter 2:2, Marilyn.
Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Crave. Not get bored. Crave. Pure spiritual milk. Pure. We read last week, purity, okay? That you may grow. Crave. More than gold bars, okay? John 17:17. Tony.
Sanctify them in the truth. Word is truth.
Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Our little exercise we did about 20 minutes ago, with when we have no Bible, there's no such thing as a Bible. God never created a Bible. We have no truth in that environment. None. No truth. And yet Scripture says, your word is truth. The biggest thing we need of everything is God's truth. And it's right here. It's right here. God came down and wrote stuff. And it's right here. Lastly, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Deb.
Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts.
I ate them. I devoured your word. There's a excerpt from an article here from TGC, the one I mentioned earlier. I'm going to read this right now. I'll put this link, by the way. There's a really good, I mentioned last week, there's a really good Bible reading plan that they have that you could sign up for online. It comes right into your inbox every day. You don't have to go to a Bible app. You don't have to do anything. You click right on it. It takes you right through all the scriptures. There's a little devotional. You click on that. It's all audio. It's super, super easy, okay? I'm going to go ahead and include that in tonight's email. Tracy, please remind me so that you guys can use that if you want it, you know, as a tool. It's just a really good tool. I've been doing it myself in addition to the other things I do, and it's probably 20 minutes. I mean, I'll be making the bed in the morning. I'll be, you know, getting ready in the bathroom in the morning, whatever I'm doing, and I just got it playing on my phone. It's like it's super easy. I'll include that. But here's the thing. I want to read this little excerpt of this article in closing. It's called, it's on that subject, Read the Bible with TGC in 2020. It's an article from December 17th, 2019 by Justin Dillehay. He says, in the 1997 film Contact, Jodie Foster's character, Ellie Arroway, is passionately committed to the idea that we are not alone in the universe. She dedicates her life to a SETI, if I'm saying that right, program, which stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, listening for radio signals from space, hoping to detect signs of alien life. We're not saying SETI is a waste of time and money, but we do find it ironic that Arroway would spend so much energy listening for something she could have found by simply opening a nightstand drawer in any hotel. Because that's what the Bible is, a message from the heavens. The transcendent God speaking to us on purpose in words we can understand. Giving us a message that can make us, quote, wise for salvation, 2 Timothy 3. What an exciting thing! We already have what some people search for their entire lives. We don't have to search the heavens feverishly or plumb the earth tirelessly to know we're not alone. The Word is already near us. In our pockets and on our coffee tables, like a love letter waiting to be perused or a feast waiting to be devoured.
There you go.
Surely it says something about God's desire to be known that he revealed himself in so many ways. Forget the Bible for a moment. If Ellie Arroway had eyes to see what the skies beheld, she would know the heavens already shout the glory of God. Psalm 19. But God wasn't content with revealing himself through galaxies and other wonders of creation. He wanted to use words. And that's fitting. For though he doesn't have a tongue or a voice box, he's a God who speaks, Genesis 1. And he created us in his image, Genesis 1:26. As human beings, we're word people. We can speak and be spoken to. We're capable of reading other people's minds and hearts and of sharing ours through the words we speak. I'm sure God had many reasons for designing us this way. But one reason is that he intended to give us his words in a book. For some, this seems almost as foolish as God becoming man and spending 30 years as a carpenter before dying on a cross. But both divine decisions, the decision to incarnate the Word in human form and the decision to inspire the Word in written form, have changed the world forever. Next week, we're going to get into Bible history a little bit, Bible preservation, Bible translations and versions, how to select a good study Bible, and then various Bible study tools. We'll start getting into that next week and the following weeks. Again, I don't fight the clock, so we get done, we can get done. Let me pray, and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your glorious, glorious, miraculous, awe-inspiring word. God, help us in this class and help me to love your word more. Help us to get into your word and to read and to study your word, because there we find you. I pray that you would convict us, Lord, and move us to do this. And we will give you the glory because you're awesome. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.